As David mentioned earlier, we are doing our theme, Equip the Saints, for this year. And we've just started. Pastor John last week, he preached into the one another life, the one another life. If you didn't see Pastor John last week, honestly, get on YouTube or listen to the podcast. He talked about being a shepherd. It was so good. It was like lots about sheep, but it was about us. It was about God. It was amazing. Now I'm making it sound like it wasn't amazing. It was a great message, believe me. It was a great, excellent message. So this is week two of another one, the one another life. In John 13:34, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." That is the scripture that the one another life is based on. When I first started coming to church was about 22 years ago now. Oh, I loved the music. I loved it. I loved the message because it was practical and relevant. I didn't like the offering message much at that time. But straight after the service, I was off. We call that a runner. Hey, all the runners are starting to get grinning like that. Yeah, but I did. Do you know, though, I did that for a year. And I didn't really change that much. I mean, I loved it. I was learning stuff a little bit, but honestly, I was not actually, just like Ebony said, she wasn't actually connecting to other people. I was not connecting to other people. As soon as the service was over, I'm sprinting out the door. Like, you got to be fast to catch me. That's for sure. Speedy, that's right. You got it. But there come a time when I started to think, because I wasn't connected, I started to think, wow, this church is so not friendly. And then God says to me, like, "You're not friendly." I know. Has that ever happened to you? Honestly, that was not exciting, God, just saying. I didn't feel great about that. I'm thinking, like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I go there? And he said, yeah, then you sprint out the door. Like, how are you supposed to? You know, it didn't matter. Like, people would say hello, but I just felt awkward. I felt, not only did I not know anyone, but I just felt like I didn't quite fit. I felt that everyone in that room had their lives together and they were all awesome, and I just was so not awesome at that time. Like, sinner, whatever. Like, I just had so much stuff going on, so I didn't felt like I belonged. So from that, you know, you're not friendly either, I decided to make a decision that I would meet a new person, just one, every Sunday. And the very first Sunday that was happening, honestly, I can't even remember what was preached, because all I could think about was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to meet someone. I like made a promise to God. I've got to meet someone. How am I going to meet someone? All the whole time. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what am I going to do? So I go over to there was a book, you know, you can go and buy books and that. So I'm over there standing there, standing there waiting to meet. So I'm thinking, like, help me to meet somebody, help me to meet someone. Anyway, this lady comes and stands beside me and I'm like, oh, good book. And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, she says, I've seen you at the school. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, my son, like, our kids went to school. We start talking, we talk about carpooling for youth and all that sort of stuff. All of a sudden, I'd met someone. It was amazing. All of a sudden, something changed in me. All of a sudden, I wasn't alone. I wasn't standing there alone by myself anymore. You know, it's just that. And then every week this happened and my connections grew, my faith grew, and I realized that community doesn't just happen to you. You build it. You build it. One conversation at a time. And maybe you've been like me, loving church but slipping out the door. Don't just attend, belong. Just like Ebony said, you are loved, you belong. We want you to belong. We want you to belong. So come and say hi after the service. Our team, our welcome team, they probably got your coffee order. And if they didn't, you can come out for a free coffee. If you're here for the first time, please come out and meet us. And even if you're not here for the first time, but you've been a runner, come out and meet us in the foyer. We'd love to meet you. We would. So come along to that. But you know what really changed my life wasn't just meeting people. It was meeting Jesus. Before I found my place in church, I found my place in Him. When you open your heart to Jesus, He gives you belonging. He gives you purpose. He gives you a fresh start, which is what I needed. And everything else flows from that. You might be here today and you don't have a relationship with Him. I'll give you an opportunity to invite Him into your heart a little bit later. So what is the importance of community? From the very beginning, God designed us for community. In Genesis, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, like every day He'd step back and He'd go, and God saw that it was good. Yeah. Everything else He created, the light, the sea, the animals, He called good. But when He saw Adam standing alone, He said, that's not good. Actually, He did say, it is not good for man to be alone. God, so, you know, He'd said, good, good, good. Ooh, that's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. God's heart right from the start is about connection. First to Him and then to one another. Church isn't just a service. It's a family. The New Testament uses the phrases one another almost 60 times in the Bible. Love one another, forgive one another, care for one another, encourage one another. Pray for one another. There's nearly 60 times different phrases of one another. You know, and I started to think about brands, because that's what you think about when you're, you know, getting ready to preach about Jesus. I was starting to think about brands. I mean, you know, we've all heard of different brands and we might even be wearing brands, but regardless, we tend to know what a brand is even if we don't wear it. Like, so let's talk a little bit about sneakers. So tell me, like, just call out, like, if you know what three stripes is. Adidas, correct. If you know what a swoosh is. Nike, that's right. If you know what the N is, and New Balance, that's right, New Balance. Oh, not New Balance, New Bells. Yeah. I noticed, like, Pastor Josh, he's got the big N on his shoe as well. Hello. But you know, you don't even need to read the name. You know who it belongs to. In the same way, Jesus, there's one mark that should make people recognize us instantly. Like, God's brand is love. God's brand is love. And Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. It is God's brand. It is love. He is love. It is His brand. The world doesn't recognize us by our buildings, by our songs. It recognizes us by how we love one another. There's a big difference between being a fan of God and being a disciple of Jesus. Fans, I mean, you know, all the Bronx, you know, fans, they cheer from the sidelines. They love the vibe, they love the music, they love the moment. But disciples, they love the people. They love the people. They forgive, they serve, they build, they connect. So this is what the one another life looks like. Firstly, it looks like friendship. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Oh, okay, God, okay. Yeah, I wasn't reading the Bible then, but, you know, I bet you if I had been, He would have given me that scripture. Yeah, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In our groups is where you will find friends who stick closer than a brother. People who pray for you, who cheer for you, and stay when life gets messy. If our friend experiences loss and weeps, we weep with them. If they celebrate success, we celebrate with them. If they experience joy, we share the joy with them. They have a need, we help them. Oh, I was just so excited. Like this week, Beck Rogers used to be in a group of mine years ago. And like this week, Beck and Sam, they got a house. Are you here, Beck and Sam? Are they here? Oh, there they are. They got a house. And all I could do on the inside was like, yes, because I know how long they've been praying for it. I know how long they've diligently been following God. I know how long they've been prophesied over that they'd have a house. I know how long that happens. But look, it happened, and we get to celebrate. Woo! That's so good. It's so good. I remember being in a group and a lady's son was in trouble. He'd been drinking, he'd been stealing, he'd been in trouble with the police. And we prayed for her and her family. He wasn't there, but I had this empathy on the inside of me because I had sons myself. And I thought, oh my gosh, if someone would just pray for them if this ever happened. If someone would just pray, like, so there was a real, like we would pray, I fasted and prayed. I just think, come on, God. Like we did as a group and we did things practically. But then God gave me a thought like, and get her to invite her son to a mentoring program that I knew about. So I asked her and he went and it completely changed his life. This is what happens when we pray in a group, when we pray together, when we think about other people and how can it help them, God? God can give you keys on how to help other people. So it just changed his life completely. I mean, he is powering this guy now. I mean, that was years ago. But the thing is, you know, big doors swing on little hinges. It started from her actually sharing in a group what was going on. Sometimes you need to share it so that you can lighten the load, so it can be distributed, so that your friends, so that your group can pray for you, can pray with you, support you. So yeah, it's all about like friendship. Friends are good. So, you know, it's a time where you get to know people on a deeper level. You get to know their dreams, their plans, also what's in their heart. And it's also a time that you get to share yours. So when you do life with others, you see miracles in motion. I love that. So that's what the one another life looks like. It looks like friendship. The second thing it looks like is care and support. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. And this is when someone hurts, we don't walk away. We walk with them. Before I became a Christian, if something happened to someone, I'd just feel so awkward. I'd think, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, it was awkward. And sometimes I would walk away because I'd think, I just don't know. I feel awkward. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm probably going to stuff it up. I'm going to put my... But do you know what? Most of the time, people just love it that you're there. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. Do not walk away. Walk with them. Walk with them. In a group, we had a lady that had leukemia and she'd been diagnosed with leukemia. We prayed, but we also got practical and it brought out people's giftings. You know, we bought groceries. That was me spending money on groceries. Then people cooked it. That was not me. That was, yeah. People cooked the food. But like all different things. We decorated her hospital room, that also was not me, but like people bought out their, you know, their gifts. I had already done mine. I bought the groceries. So anyway, but do you see, we've all got different giftings, but when we come together, someone decorated her room, we prayed and fasted for her. Like someone did a painting, who was an artist, did a painting for her room at the hospital. Like, and it just blew me away, because this was in early days of being a Christian. It blew me away, as I'd never seen an act of kindness like this, unless it was family. But do you know, that's the point. We are family. We are family. I'm not going to break out in song. We are in God's family. So we prayed and fasted together for her healing, and she had a miraculous healing. Doctors were amazed, but they could not find a trace of leukemia. Wow. Woo! This is what God can do in a group. So good. And then, of course, at our next group, like, we celebrated. Again, I bought the food. Anyway, groups are where care and support happens. Sometimes, though, we need extra prayer and support. It might be a long-term illness. We might need our pastoral support team. Like Katrina. Hello, Katrina, who's actually watching online today because she's not well. So, you know, our pastoral support team, they're probably sending her messages. I've already, like, bless you, prayed for you. You're going to be well in Jesus' name. But our pastoral support team, they do visits to hospitals, for example. Go and pray with people. Go and baptize people. This has happened. These are all things that have happened already. They care for people over a long-term period, whether it's meals, so many incredible. And our team, we've got such an incredible team. Like Pastor Sharon is on that team. Pastor Rod's on that team. Lydia is on that team. There's so many people that have that pastoral heart. And you can feel it now. If you're not part of that team, but you know, like, oh my gosh, I would love to do that. It just makes your little heart sing. Like, honestly, you can see Katrina. Actually, you can see Di because she's here. Where are you, Di? There's things put up. Yeah. Like, yell out, like, yeah, I'm here. Stand up, Di. This is Di. Di, she actually organises that people are going here and going there. She coordinates our pastoral support. So if that's you, after the service, you can go and catch up with Di. Di's going to be out in the foyer. Yeah, look at you. I just brought that up. So, yeah, make sure you're out in the foyer, Di. So anyway, what, like, yeah. But I love that. Do you know what? Because, like, no one should have to deal with sickness like leukemia alone. No one should have to sit in a hospital waiting room alone while their spouse and child or their parent is in surgery. No one. No one should have to wait for high-risk test results alone. No one should have to go through death of a loved one, broken relationships alone. We need each other. Yeah, this is the one another life. Yeah, so we've got friendship, we've got care and support. And then my third point is spiritual growth. Sunday services are great, aren't they? Like, they encourage, and I encourage you to attend every week. That way, you know, we get to know. But the way we get to know people better is in a smaller group setting. There's more time for questions, there's more time for discussion, for friendship and encouragement. And we grow because we learn off each other and of each other's experiences. What I've experienced, what I've been through, there's been times when I've never been through it before, but someone else in my group has. When someone's walked through something, they've got authority on that. When somebody has been sick and they've been healed, they have authority to pray. They have authority to give wisdom and insight and guidance. When someone's walked through a broken relationship, they can give wisdom. So that's why we grow in a group. We can grow in that. We practice, and we can practice in a group. Like, we've been talking about equip the saints. We can practice the prophetic. We can practice prayer. We can practice supporting each other with meals or praying, whatever it is. We can do that in a group setting. So we develop our spiritual gifts. Whatever it is really starts to come out of us. I didn't know what my gifts were way back then, but I was drawn to prayer. And even though I didn't know how to pray, I used to go to a 6 a.m. prayer meeting and I was silent, but it was all right. I was just like getting the vibe. No, I wasn't. I was just too scared. But it was where I actually prayed out loud for the very first time. Wasn't at that prayer meeting. It was in a group that was smaller. It's less challenging in a smaller number. And then later on, I did that. I first prophesied in a group. I had a word. I saw a picture. I didn't know what to do with it. So I just spoke it out in a group. That's how we grow. We grow in a group. I joined a Bible study group. I have found that, being in a group pushes you further than it would by yourself. It's the same with at the gym. I mean, I'm shocking by myself. Really, I just want to, over. You know, 1, 2, 3, finished. Like, but if I'm in a training, like with a group of people, like I'm like, yeah, I'm making it happen. Even I'm like, when is this going to be over? But I won't stop because I'm with a group of people. That's why when you're with a group, it pushes you further than it would than if you were by yourself. So, you know, I just love seeing people discover their gifts and the purposes that God made us for. So even Jesus himself, he didn't do life alone. He had a group. Yeah. He chose 12. 12 of them, fishermen, tax collectors, doubters, educated, uneducated, and none of them were perfect. He shared his life, his heart, and his love of God with them. He taught them to love one another, and he sent them out to communicate that his acceptance was available to anyone. This is the one another life. We're going to be discussing this in groups. Like, it is group week this week. So this week, I think we'll be talking about Pastor John's message from last week, this week in groups. So the one another life, friendships, care and support, and spiritual growth. Now, you might be here today and you think, do you know what? I'm feeling stirred. And you might think, just think about this. When someone's missing, do you notice it? If you notice missing people, or when someone's hurting, do you ache yourself? Sometimes you just know that something's going on in someone. If that's you, you know, that's not random. That's a pastoral call. So how do you get started in that if you're not already? Maybe you're already leading a group and you're doing that. Like, if you want to know how to, like, or maybe you're in a group, but now it's time to lead one. If you're interested in leading a group to grow, come and see me after the service. Or maybe when I was talking about the pastoral support team that Katrina leads, Pastor Katrina, with hospital visits, meals, prayer, and care, maybe you're drawn to that. And if that's you, you're going to see Di in the foyer after the service. Or perhaps, and this is one area I haven't talked about, do you know how I talked about I used to run out of the service straight after? Well, here, and you might have experienced this, we have what we call the new people team. And their job is to get out in that car park and catch you people. No, but it's not about, it's just that we love you. We want you to belong. We want to put our arms around you. We want to help you get connected into church. We do. And it's not just the new people team, like many of us will go out and just try and catch you on your way out because we want to give you the opportunity to say, hey, like, if I'd had that opportunity for a year of running out, if someone had said to me, hey, and stopped me, I would have stopped and talked. But there wasn't there. So that's a great team. If you're, you know, I love that team. I love that team because I know what it's like to spend a year not knowing anyone. My own fault, yes. However, if I had had someone catch me, I would have spoken to them. So if that's you, and right now all the evangelists are going off like, yeah, I'm going to get them, I'm getting it. Yeah. But we don't tackle you. We do not tackle you. We just want to say hi out in the car park. We're friendly. Look at us. Look at us. Yeah. But if you want to be part of the new people team, please see Pastor Josh. Can you stand up, Pastor Josh? There we go. Pastor Josh, you can see him after the service as well. So there is a lot going on. I just feel the Spirit of God stirring things up pastorally. So right, what we are going to do very soon is we're going to start, like Rod, can I have you up, please? We're going to start praying for specific areas in pastoral care. First of all, for the gift, and then we're actually going to pray for